All right, we're going to pick it up in Exodus 25, and I believe I left off in verse 17, maybe. But anyway, we're going to start down around 17. It says, "And thou shalt make a mercy seat of pure gold. 2 cubits and a half shall be the length thereof, and 1 cubit and a half the breadth thereof. And thou shalt make 2 cherubims of gold. Of beaten work shalt thou make them in 2 ends of the mercy seat." I said, I left out the word "the." I can't stand leaving a word out. "And make 1 cherub on the one end and the other cherub on the other end, even of the mercy seat shall ye make the cherubims on the 2 ends thereof." That's a very, very interesting text right there. I'll go ahead and read verse 20 before we get started on this little lesson. "And the cherubims shall stretch forth their wings on high, covering the mercy seat with their wings, and their faces shall look one to another. Toward the mercy seat shall the faces of the cherubims be, and thou shalt put the mercy seat above the ark, and in the ark shalt thou put the testimony that I shall give thee." Now, this mercy seat here is a type and a picture, just like this ark and this whole thing. The Bible says of Jesus Christ, "Lo, I come," and the volume of the book is written of me. Jesus is our mercy seat. Now, the reason I know that is because I looked up the word propitiation in my dictionary, and one of the definitions there given is mercy seat. That's interesting. Now listen to this. Romans 3 verse 25 says, "Whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation," speaking of Jesus, "through faith in His blood." The blood went on the mercy seat.
Yeah.
All right, it says, "to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God." Now, this mercy seat's picturing the Lord Jesus Christ, and you have 2 cherubim that are made of the same gold of that mercy seat, and they're facing that mercy seat. Now, I want to read a couple verses, and then I've got a lot of them written down. Y'all can jot them down if you'd like to, but I had the biggest time studying these cherubim. Psalm 18:10, listen to this. It says, "And He rode upon a cherub and did fly, yea, He did fly upon the wings of the wind." Speaking of God, listen to this. 1 Chronicles chapter 28, the Bible says in verse number 18, says, "And for the altar of incense, refined gold by weight, and gold for the pattern of the chariot of the cherubims that spread out their wings and covered the ark of the covenant of the Lord." Now, there's a lot to be said about the cherubim that we see here. And here they are in unit, made as a unit with the mercy seat. Now, one thing that I like about this right here, that I may be getting ahead of myself, but I know this right here. We're supposed to be heavenly minded.
Yeah, amen.
The Bible tells you to be heavenly minded. Now, you're supposed to have a attitude of what a few of your old writers called practicing the presence of God. Mm-hmm. Now, here we have 2 cherubims, and this thing that what we're reading about is made after the pattern in heaven. Now, you know what we as Christians should do? We should have the attitude of a heavenly mindset. And how are you going to have a heavenly mindset? By studying beings in the Bible that have a heavenly mindset. So much so that the Bible says in verse number 20 at the bottom of the verse, "And their faces shall look one to another toward the mercy seat." Now, yeah. We're supposed to look on things not of ourselves and things like that, and look one to another. And I'll just show you. Talking about a heavenly mindset, I'm going to give you a verse out of Romans 13, verse 8. Says, look one to another. Romans 13, verse 8 says, owe no man anything but love one another. Yeah. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. The law is underneath them. And here they are looking at each other and facing the mercy seat. You know what we ought to be doing? Looking at one another and facing the mercy seat. You know what would solve a whole lot of problem? Folks that love, have a love that gives what the Bible calls charity. And actually have a Christian kind of love would solve a whole lot of problem. That's why the Bible said they'll be lovers of their own selves. Well, they are not looking at the mercy seat right. I tell you what, we would be a whole lot less likely to judge other people falsely if we were looking at that mercy seat more and focusing on that part of Jesus more. Yeah. I tell you, it helped me studying for it. The Bible says in Ephesians 4:32, and I've got a bunch of verses, man. It's amazing how they tie together. It says, and be ye kind one to another. Here they are looking one to another. Yeah. Look one to another and then toward the mercy seat. That Bible tells you, speaking of Christ's forgiveness, the mercy seat, speaking of Christ's forgiveness, because they got forgiveness because of the mercy seat. In that context, it says in Ephesians 4:32, and being ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. You think that don't match that right there? You think that don't match a heavenly mindset? I'll tell you something, brother. There's something to be said for these cherubim. The Bible said in Colossians chapter 3, verse 1, that we should be heavenly minded. Now, if I'm going to be heavenly minded, I've got to study these beings right here, I think, a little bit to show me how a heavenly mindset is. Somebody who's constantly in the presence of God, how do they behave and how can I behave? Why? Because guess what? I'm seated with Him in the heavenlies. All right, so we'll look at a couple of these things. I want you to notice, first one thing, if we're going to practice the presence of God and be kind of like these cherubims here, and the Bible said all these things are written for our learning, we're going to learn some pretty good things here, or at least I have. Maybe it'll be a blessing to you. But they're constantly looking at the mercy of God. Now, Webster's definition of mercy, I'm going to read this whole first part of this. It says, that benevolence, mindless or tender mildness or tenderness of heart which disposes a person to overlook injuries. Already getting rough. Or to treat an offender better than he deserves. That's what I got right there. I'm an offender and I got treated better than I deserve. That's why I'm not trying to be smart, but for a long time, especially when I worked at the post office, people say, how you doing? I'd say, better than I deserve. I walked in between two guys one day on the steps of the courthouse up there, and I was going in there to deliver courthouse mail, and I walked in between them and I said, how y'all doing? And this one guy said, all right, how you doing? I said, better than I deserve. I don't guess he thought I heard him, but I stepped on in. You know how those doors open and close, you know, automatically, and it was closed. And he said, he leaned over to his buddy. He said, that man say he doing better than he deserved. So he must thought I was real bad off, you know. But I meant it. I wasn't just trying to be, you know, I mean, I really am doing better. Why? Because I've got mercy. The definition goes on to say, the disposition that tempers justice and induces an injured person to forgive trespasses and injuries. I'm telling you, man, watch this. And to forbear punishment or inflict less than law or justice will warrant. In this sense, there is perhaps no word in our language precisely synonymous with mercy, that which comes nearest to its grace. It implies benevolence, tenderness, mildness, pity or compassion and clemency, but exercised only toward offenders. Mercy is a distinguishing attribute of the Supreme Being. That's what Webster gave it, right? That's a pretty good definition. Now, you know what that lets me know? The attitude of these cherubims are constantly looking at mercy. You know what? Even heavenly beings like cherubim, they got to have mercy. Why? Because a holy God, He's so holy, if He wanted to have wrath on anything, He could have wrath on any one of His creatures. He's got to have mercy. They're looking at mercy. Now, I looked at some verses on mercy and some things that I thought, man, we need to apply that and be like these cherubims, practicing the presence of God, constantly looking on this mercy. Here's a few verses. Romans 15:9 says, "And that the Gentiles might glorify God," watch this, "for His mercy." Yeah. You know why we're glorifying God? I had no covenants, no promises. We know all those verses over there. Strangers, pilgrims. But you know why they glorify God? Thank God for mercy.
Yeah.
Give glory to God. You know, you talking about the nine that came back to give glory to God. And you've read about that. But hey, God, you ever said, "Lord, just I want to thank you for having mercy on me.
Right.
Lord, giving me... You've been way better than I deserve, Lord. Thank you for your mercy. Lord, I just want to glorify you for your mercy."
Amen.
That's worth singing about. That's worth praising about. One, because look, if it wasn't for the mercy of Almighty God, I would be either on my way or already in hell and never be able to get out. Now, you know one thing, I'm saved. I'm saved, saved, gloriously saved. But I can tell you something, the thought of going, having to go to hell, never getting out, that ought to terrify anybody, man. I'm telling you, if somebody is lost and they can literally stare hell right in the face of everlasting burning and bobbing up and down like a cord, however it's going to work out. Look, I don't profess to know enough Bible. I know enough Bible to know this. It's going to be so bad, nobody's going to want to stay there.
Yeah.
And it's going to be a separation from God. Let me tell you something. It's going to be way more than separation from God. Mm-hmm. It's going to be everlasting torment. There's a guy on YouTube. That guy is a fool. Mm-hmm. Fool. He gets on there and he preaches hell's not real and hell's not fire and hell's not eternal. Hell's just death. That is not what the Bible says. So I couldn't help it. I said, "I got to click on this idiot." I listened to that guy, and he said, "Well, in the Hebrew," I knew right then. I'm not kidding you. Within 2 minutes of this thing, he's got to explain it away. He's got four or five versions over here in this room, and it really should mean this, and what they meant to say was that. And look, what gets me is there are people out there letting that man talk them out of believing what the Bible says.
Yeah.
Now, what am I saying? Thank God for mercy.
Amen.
Thank God I don't have to go there. Thank God. Look, if I don't have anything else to just praise God for, look, if everything else in my life goes sour, goes south, I lose my health, I lose any money that I don't have, if I lose whatever, let me tell you this right here, I can praise God. I'm not going to hell. I can give God glory. I could preach the rest of tonight giving God glory for mercy. 2 Corinthians 4:1 says, "Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not." You know what that verse right there tells me? I don't have to faint because I've received mercy. Mercy gives me strength not to faint.
Yeah.
Just constantly focusing on that mercy. God, you've been merciful to me. Thank God, man. I've got something to praise you for. I got heaven to look forward to. I got streets to go to look forward to. Seeing the face of the Lord Jesus Christ, being up there with all the other saints in glory, probably and hopefully, prayerfully, being a part of the rapture of the church, all these things. Man, I'll tell you something. That calls you not to faint right there.
Amen.
Calls you not to faint. Ephesians 2:4, "But God, who is rich in mercy..." You talking about rich? He's got all the riches. I heard a preacher say one time, and I had to adopt that saying. He owns all the hills and all the cows on the hills and all the taters under the hills. He owns it all, but the Bible says he's rich in mercy. I'm glad I serve a God that's rich in mercy. Well, I need it. I needed mercy to get saved. And I need mercy for sanctification. And I need mercy for sealing. I need mercy all over. I need all the mercy I can get. Well, he's got plenty to go around. Why, he's filthy rich in it.
Yeah.
And the fact that people won't take it for his great love wherewith he loved us. Philippians 2:27, "For indeed he was sick, nigh unto death." But watch this. God had mercy on him. This man right here was sick and had some mercy. You know what I've received of God? Not only mercy when I got saved, but I've received mercy. There's been times I've been sick. I thought I was dying. One time, I won't get too far into it. One time, Carla had to take me to the hospital. I had some severe stomach issues and didn't even know I had some issues going on. We ate at the Mexican restaurant. Thought I was dying. And I tell you what, I received some mercy. Carla, tell you, I thought I was dying. I thought I was going to die. But you know what? There's been a lot of people who've been really bad sick and recovered from it. But did God have to have mercy? No. No, He didn't. But He often does. And see, what we forget these things. We forget that we need God's mercy. Let me tell you, these people implement some of these things. It's their business, whatever they do in their own time. But I can tell you this, they forget the God factor. You can take all the vitamins you want to, and you can go to that gym all you want to, and you can stay away from people all you want to. And my friend, you could take one little germ off of a doorknob somewhere and die of no telling what. You know what people need to do? Seek the mercy of God more. I wish people would rely on God. Look, if people hadn't learned to rely on God in these times, I don't know. I don't know what it would take. I really don't. But you know what? The Bible says this guy right here was sick just about and dying, and God had mercy on him. You know what that tells me? We need the mercy of God all the time. Now, I think people put a little bit too much stock in their own selves. Now, look, I believe, I enjoy, we work out, you know, a few times every week. I've got some other little things I enjoy doing that has to do with working my job. I mean, that's like today, I'm sore from my job right there, right now, because I had a busy day, and thank God for it. But I'm active. But I'm not going to trust in that and say, well, I'm active. Hey, man, I'm going to be healthy. I say, God, I want to thank you again for your mercy today that you allowed me. You allowed me, Lord, to work another day. And, Lord, you allowed me, because of your mercy, to breathe your air, walk on your grass, get in your vehicle, drive back and forth to work. All that was you because of your mercy. I thank God for it. I thank Him for it. It says in 1 Timothy 1:13, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. I thank God He, a lot of things I've been ignorant about. You're talking about ignorant brethren. Man, there's been a lot of things which God's placed me in the you know, and I've had some men that know the Bible guide me and help me. And I talk to people and read the Word of God and stuff like that. But He has been merciful to me, and I've done a lot of damage. And I thank God He's been merciful. I've done some injury. I really have. And I thank God for that mercy. And you know what? I think if we look at these things, I think that'll help us in our walk. Hey, so-and-so, I know they're doing this right here, and I know they got things going on, but you know what? I've done a lot of damage myself. Yeah. I've taught some things I wished I hadn't have taught. I've done a lot of stuff just ignorant because I wouldn't listen. And I tell you one thing I do. Jacob said over there, I'm not worthy of all the truth you've shown me and things like that. I'm not worthy of what I've learned, what little bit I've learned. I thank God that He let me believe the words of this Word of God. Yes. And I thank God He put me in line with some people who taught me how to rightly divide. And I just try to study it on my own now. Yes. And I don't get myself in bondage. That's mercy. Why? I don't deserve that. Man, for all I know, I could be going to a Campbellite church and thinking water baptism saves. I could be going to who knows what. I could be going to one of these places and thinking you got to talk in tongues to Stacy, trying to keep my salvation. All this, I could think all those things if it wasn't for the mercy of God. And I tell you something, as I look at these cherubim, I think, man, I need to be like them and think about that mercy right there and just give Him glory for it a little while. Why? Because I know there's a lot of people out there who, when they get the truth, they're glad they got it. And a lot of them need it. And I say, God, have mercy on them. Get them the truth. Get them somebody that they'll listen to. 2 Timothy 1:16, the Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. Now, you know what? He's praying the Lord to give mercy to this man right here, because he refreshed somebody. Now I wonder how many people are like Onesiphorus, They think, well, I'm just not doing, I know some people who do things for God. They think they're not doing nothing for God. But you know what? They're refreshing to be around.
Yeah.
You know what? It's a refresher to me to be around some people who love God.
Yeah.
Amen. I've got a guy, he sends me texts and stuff like that, and I'm not kidding you. If I'm lying, I'm dying. Sometimes he'll send me a text, I mean, just at the right.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, some of them are so good. It'd be different if it didn't come at the right time. I just want to shout hallelujah. Hey, I have pulled over before and got out and said, whoo. Just,
yeah.
Man, God's good. I know it scares you to death, but I'm telling you, sometimes I just completely get beside myself. Well, I don't deserve it.
Right.
Yeah.
It'd be different. It'd be different if I was sinless, but I'm a sinner.
Right.
And here God is, didn't have to be good to me, and He's so good to me. He gave me another day today, and here I am preaching God's word, a sinner with the word of God, and I believe it.
I think it's something
to be excited about.
Yeah.
And the fact that He lets me in on other folks that are excited about it too. And sometimes, you've had them sometimes, man, you just have you a good call.
Yeah.
Man, I talked to somebody just about an hour the other day, and you never know how a call is going to go. Sometimes you think, well, I'm going to talk 5 or 10 minutes. And man, before long, you just having the biggest time, just praising, nothing, no deep talking, just talking about things, about the Lord, and how good the Lord is. That's a refresher.
Hey.
He said, I pray God have mercy on that. You know what? A lot of people, I pray that they do get a lot of mercy over it. I pray God to just bless them up, man, just have mercy on them. You're talking about what kind of mercy? Maybe they're sick. Maybe God will be merciful to them. Get them back well. Give them a few more years or whatever.
Yeah.
Man, I think that happens sometimes. You got some of these people, and they say, well, the doctor gave me 6 months. The doctor didn't give you nothing, man.
Yeah.
Gave me 6 months. God gives you anything that you get.
Amen.
The very idea. Doctor didn't give you nothing. You don't get me into now. Look, I know there's a lot of good, godly doctors out there, but the doctor don't give you no time. And another thing too, he refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. I'm glad there's some people out there that's not ashamed. See, that's a heavenly mindset. Not be ashamed of somebody who's trying to do something for the Lord. Titus chapter 3, verse 5. Here's one of my favorite ones. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us.
Amen.
That's it.
Yeah.
Why are you saved? According to His mercy.
Mm-hmm.
Who's the mercy seat? Jesus Christ. According to Jesus Christ, He saved me. Why? Because if it wasn't for Jesus Christ, I wouldn't be saved.
Yeah.
Amen.
That's why I don't like it when people talk bad about the Lord. People say, well, you've offended me so-and-so and you said something about it. Well, what about offending me when you talk bad about my Lord? That offends me.
Yeah.
They don't never mind offending Christians.
Right.
Well, I'll tell you something. I'm be first to tell you, I'm a nobody. I'll be the first to tell you that right there. But I'm a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who will save anybody.
Amen.
And I'm a child of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I tell you this too. I'm trying to point you to the mercy seat. We're trying to point the world to the mercy seat. Why? The Jesus I'm telling you about right now, He's having mercy. But one of these days, He's going to come back and it's not going to be any mercy.
Yeah. That's right.
We're saying get him now while you can. You better behold that mercy.
Amen.
Now here's another thing about those cherubim. They were always looking at that mercy seat. They are of the same piece of gold. Now verse 19 makes it pretty clear, but in Exodus 37, here's one that's real clear. Exodus 37 verse 7 says, "And He made two cherubims of gold beaten out of one piece made He them." See? Of one piece made He them on the two ends of the mercy seat. One cherub on the one end on this side, another cherub on the other end on that side. Out of the mercy seat made He the cherubims on the two ends. They're the same thing as the Lord. You know what that teaches? Unity with the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what we are? The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 6:17, "But he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit." The Bible says we're seated with Him in the heaven. With Him, seated with Him. Look, my life is hid with Christ in God. I'm just like those cherubim that in that mercy seat, they were made of the same piece of gold.
Yeah.
perfect unity with Christ. Look at him, behold him. You know what I am? I'm made into the Lord Jesus Christ, bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh. Just like, why? I'm supposed to have a heavenly mindset just as much as those cherubim. Why? I'm part of him.
Hey.
I tell you something. That right there gets me plumb excited right there. I'm telling you, that'll get you just, you're a strip of gear thinking about that thing. Now you think about 2 Corinthians 2:10. The context is forgiveness. Now listen to this. To whom you forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgive anything, to whom I forgive it. That's a lot of forgiveness. For your sakes forgave I it in the person of Christ. So instead of Christ being here, you know what we're supposed to be doing? We're going to have the mindset of a heavenly being that's constantly in the presence of God. I'm seated with him in the heavenlies. I'm joined with him. So I'm going to have this kind of attitude. You know what he's saying right there? Instead of Christ, he's got the Holy Spirit on the inside of you and I. He said, I'm going to let you do it in the person of Christ.
Yeah.
It goes on to say, he said later on in 2 Corinthians 5:20, now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though Christ did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead be you reconciled to God. Now, you're doing things in the person of Christ, in Christ's stead, as an ambassador for Christ. You know what that means? You're saved. The Holy Spirit's working on the inside of you. That's his personal work. When you yield to him, it's just like him doing it.
Yeah.
Well, he's working in and through you. Man, you talking about a heavenly mind. The fact that, hey, you had some love there whenever a normal person wouldn't have love. You had joy there when a normal person wouldn't have joy, and peace when a normal person, whenever the whole world's coming apart, you still got peace. That's Christ literally doing that in the person of Christ.
Hey.
Christ said, I know you can't stand that person. I want you to love them.
Hey. Yeah.
Mm. Lord, well, if you're going to be like those heavenly beings staring at that mercy seat, and they're part of that mercy seat, and you're part of Christ, I want you to have some long suffering right here, even though you don't want to.
Yeah.
I want you to have some kindness here, even though the easiest thing and the best thing that you think to do is the last thing to be kindness.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to have some goodness here.
Yeah.
Whenever the best thing you can think of would be the right opposite of being good right now.
Mm-hmm.
Why? In Christ's stead.
Hey.
They're joined. Now, I think about this right here. These cherubim, they have a permanent and constant dependence on that mercy seat. Why? Because if you'll notice there, they're resting their weight on the mercy seat. They're on top of that mercy seat, resting their weight on it. Now, you know what that tells me? If I'm going to have a heavenly mindset like these cherubim who's connected to this mercy seat, we're connected to Christ.
Yeah.
I better be utterly dependent on Christ for everything. Ephesians 3:16 said that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. Strengthened, what's that? If I'm going to be strengthened, I've got to be dependent on him. I have no strength in myself. I was without strength, without hope, without God in the world. You know what he said? If you want to be strengthened, just rest on me.
Dang.
Human strength is no good.
Yeah.
I knew a guy. I watched him. He could put 4 45s on each side and work out with, that's 405, if I'm doing the math right. But 405, because I 345 on each side, 315, but he could, for reps, do sets of 405. That's a lot of deadlifting right there. That's a lot of weight. I thought that old boy was pretty strong. But you know what? Even that old boy right there, and with God, who can make a planet, that's not strength.
Yeah.
All that is human strength. And even that guy, he'd sleep 8 and 10 hours a day trying to heal all that muscle.
Yeah.
Now, God never sleeps. You know what we better do? We better depend on God.
Hey.
Amen.
People say, well, what am I going to do in this state right here I'm in? And what am I going to do? I can't do this. And what am I going to do? I can't handle this situation. What am I going to do? You're going to have to be like these heavenly beings who are connected to Christ with a heavenly mindset state, and we're going to have to be constantly and utterly dependent on gaining our strength from resting in Him. Colossians 1:11 says, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power. I love that verse. Unto all patience and long-suffering. There's the hardest part of that verse. With joyfulness. You think that ain't tough? People talk about hard Bible verse. You are going through patience and long. Not only patience. Patience different than long-suffering. You study them verses right there. Patience and long-suffering. I want you to do it with joyfulness. Not all, I want you to smile about it. I tell you something. I had a guy here a little while back. He said, look, he said, if you need me, call me. He said, I don't care if it's 12 o'clock at night. He said, not only will I come help you, but I do it with a smile. You know what I thought? Man, that's how I need to be with the Lord. Joyfulness. 2 Timothy 4:17 says, notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. You know how we're going to be delivered? By the strength of the Lord. You know how we're going to keep preaching? It's by the strength of the Lord. Look, if we're going to go in our strength, we will quit. You know why a lot of people quitting? Because they're not leaning on the Lord. That's all it amounts to. Now you think about this right here. We study these cherubim, and I think it's interesting to see what kind of faces they have. Now, when you study them in different places in the Bible, here we read in verse number 20 that they look one to another, and while they're doing that, they're looking toward each other, but they're looking down at that mercy seat. So it's telling us how to look at the Lord Jesus Christ here as we look at them. So we're having that heavenly mindset, and we're supposed to think on those things which are above, which where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Now, they got a face of a man, the Bible says, over in Revelation. And I can't even get over into Ezekiel. You talking about studying cherubim, man. We could get over there and talk about how they carry God. We're supposed to hold for the word of life and all this. But I want to say this right here. We're humans. There's a human side to things. We have got to remember Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, was 100% God and 100% man. The Lord Jesus Christ got tired. God didn't get tired. But He had to do that in order to be able to be tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. He can relate to us, and we can cast all our cares on Him, for He cares for us, because He's already went through all these things. Now, we got to remember that people have a human side. It's easy to forget, hey, so-and-so is... Look, people do things when they're tired that they normally wouldn't do. I know with me, I'm a little snippy whenever I get real tired. I wish I wouldn't like that, but I. Why? Because that's a human side. We need to remember there's a human side to people. I've told you about this driver we had one time, and my brother can tell you, man, he was a... I'm trying to think of a good word. He was hard to deal with. He was a hard-headed guy. He would come in. I literally, when his truck would pull out up on that lot, brother, I would literally dread him coming to that window to get his next load. And man, we dealt with him. Well, one day he come in, he said, "Well, I got to be off," and he was off for a while. He said, "I got surgery," and he said, "I'm going to the VA. I've got to have surgery." So anyway, we let him off, and somebody else got in his truck a little while and ran some loads. So he come back. Well, he come back one day, and he come up there and went, "Hey, fellas, how y'all doing?" I nearly fell out of my chair. I said, "What in the world is going on with Al?" He said, "Y'all having a good day, man? It's a nice, pretty day outside." And I thought, I was looking at my brother. My brother leans back. He leaned back in his chair because I had my desk was behind him. He leaned back in his chair and went, like this, and I didn't know what was going on. He said, "Hey, just want to let y'all know everything went good, my surgery, and man, I feel so much better." Come to find out, we got talking to him, and he had been in so much pain with his neck.
Man,
the pain, he was so ill all the time because of all that pain he was in. That's, we got to remember a human side of people.
Yeah.
Now, those cherubim had the face of a man. We've got to remember, as we're looking to Jesus Christ and looking one to another, we're dealing with people who are saved. We're connected with Christ up there, seated with Him in heaven. But down here, we're still dealing with these earthly bodies until we kick these shells out of here. Why? The only good thing that this body can do is something the Lord has to literally do it through us yielding to Him. Otherwise, it can't do anything worth anything. We got to remember that.
Yeah.
Now, here's some other things I want to go over. And we could go over that in a long time too. But they had the face of a lion. The Bible said, one of the best references you read about these cherubim over in Revelation. But they had the courage necessary to meet and defy danger and death. Now, you know what we're going to need if we're going to have that heavenly mindset like that, where here we are joined to the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Proverbs 28:1, the wicked flee when no man pursueth.
Yeah.
Nobody's even paranoid. This world is so paranoid. They got the spirit of Saul.
Yeah.
They'll throw the javelin at their own friend when they don't even realize that's the person trying. You know what the last thing we need to do is be throwing javelin at people who we love. Yeah, maybe they don't agree with us on everything, but we're not going to agree with anybody 100% down here.
Yeah.
We got to be careful about that. But it says, but the righteous are bold as a lion.
Hey.
Well, there ought to be a boldness. Paul said, hey, I want y'all to pray for me that I'll preach with boldness. Ends up preaching with boldness. I think there ought to be a boldness, a standout. And when I bold things, like when I'm a lot of times when I'm putting these verses in and stuff like that, and I'll copy and paste them off my sword searcher, and I'll bold things in there that I want to stand out. You know what we ought to do? We ought to stand out. Why? Because we're bold in Christ. Not just out here trying to get attention. Look, the fight's coming to us. We're not going to have to go look for no fight. The more you serve the Lord Jesus Christ, you won't have to go pick nothing. It'll come to you. But I believe, I hope that my children are sitting right there, and I hope that God will raise up other men and stuff like that, and women who will stand boldly for the Lord Jesus Christ in these days. God, I hope we don't raise a whole bunch of generation, a bunch of sissies that won't do anything, won't stand up, bunch of just got a backbone like a spaghetti noodle.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's embarrassing. Now, I'm not saying I'm the poster child for boldness, but I'll say this right here. It's embarrassing what is going on with supposed Christianity today.
Maybe.
Just jumping in with whoever give you an extra dollar.
Yeah.
Well, you know, so-and-so, I get to preach at his church. You got a church to preach at your own self. Why do you care if you get to preach over there or not?
Yeah.
Well, if I make him mad, I don't get to preach at that meeting. Who cares? Have your own meeting.
Yeah.
Goodness, man. These people wanting to jump in with these other people and be buddy. Look, if somebody don't want to be my friend, I don't want to be their friend.
Amen.
Stay at your church and preach at your church.
Yeah.
Man, I just never seen some of this stuff. Well, if we say that, it's going to make them mad. Look, what about making God mad?
Yeah,
it comes a time where you got to be bold in life.
Yeah.
And like I said, I'm not saying go out here and pick a fight with anybody. But at the same time, for what the Lord's done, these cherubim here, they're practicing the presence of God, and they got the face like a lion.
Yeah.
Now, we need some bold preachers and bold workers for the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Some people who don't mind actually getting out on a limb. Some of them won't climb the tree for getting scared. If I climb the tree, I got to go out on a limb. Just do something for the Lord.
Amen.
Small or great, whatever. It's all good. Just do something. Get a Bible verse and say, if you can't get out of I know some people are locked in, some of these precious people, some of them in these nursing homes and stuff. And look, that's a hard task to actually have to be confined to a place. Like, I understand that. But get a hold of a verse and say, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to pray without ceasing. Nothing else. I'm going to get me a list of names right here. I'm going to pray for these people, and I'm going to ask God to put His blessing on them and help them, give them the boldness they need to witness. And guess what? You'll get in on all that stuff for praying.
Yeah.
There's other stuff to do. There's enough stuff to do for people. But we ought to have a boldness to actually do something.
Yeah.
Not only that, but they had the face of an ox. How are we doing? Okay. They got the face of an ox. Guess what? That's that patience, endurance of the labor.
Yeah.
with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I looked at this right here. I thought about this ox, and oxen are known for laboring. So I said, well, how many verses? I could preach the rest of the night on labor in the Lord. I can't. I won't do it, but I'm going to give you a couple. In Romans 16, verse 6, he said, greet Mary, who bestowed much labor on us. Thank God for Mary. Thank God for some women who will do something. Yeah, I'll tell you something. Some of the hardest working people you ever meet in your life are women.
Yeah. Amen.
You know what gets me? A man ought to be a hard working fella who you can depend on to be there to do something. And it amazes me that look, brother, you know I know there's some hard working men out there, but I'm gonna tell you this right here, there's a lot of hard working women.
Amen.
There's a lot of these guys, if you read their biographies and stuff like that, you don't even know the wife's name of a lot of these great big old preachers and stuff like that, but they will be the first to tell you, if it wasn't for my wife, I couldn't get it done.
Yeah,
and I'll be the first to tell you, I don't get nowhere near done what some of these preachers do. I'm not even in the same, I can't even unlatch their shoe latchet. But I tell you this, what I do get done, if it wasn't for that woman right there, I couldn't get it done.
Yeah.
And see, she won't take credit for nothing. But I'm telling you this right here, that's probably what went on too, and that's why she'll get so much stuff. You're getting more than me, I can tell you. Oh, that's not, no, I'm just telling you, labored on us. She put herself last and done something for these other people who are working, and he said, hey, greet her. She done a lot for us, labored on us. Well, I guarantee you, what do you need? What can I do? I've seen them out there, man. How can I help you? What can I do? And man, don't take credit for nothing.
Yeah.
The man, he's out here just like, oh, what's his name said? He said, the man can be sitting inside, and he said, the wife outside repaving the driveway. And the man said, don't worry about that garbage. I took it out for you, did it for you, sweet pea. You know, he said, Sloop, these two people's name starts with a T, who labor in the Lord.
Yeah.
Salute the beloved who labored much in the Lord. Much in the Lord. So what he's taking time out to say these people labor. That's that face of the ox. And look, if we're going to have that heavenly mindset, our belief ought to have legs on it, so to speak. Well, I'm not saved by work, but I tell you this, I take joy in working for the Lord.
Amen.
I really do. I take joy in it. When I sit down and read my Bible, I don't do... Look, when somebody's in fellowship with God, you ain't got to sit there and say, you need to read your Bible.
Yeah.
And I get to read. I be honest with you. Like, sometimes I find myself, I say, okay, today's the third. I'm reading Proverbs chapter 3, in which I read my third Proverb day. And sometimes you find yourself just going on. Oh, man, I forgot. That's good right there.
Yeah.
Oh, that'll go back over here with this. And before long, you done spent 30 minutes. Then you're late and you got, golly, I was supposed to be in Tupelo at so-and-so. And I got to hurry up. Wow, you just enjoy fellowship with the Lord. Labor.
Yeah.
You know what the Bible said? I've got all kind of verses on labor. Wherefore we labor that whether present or absent we may be accepted of Him. Hey, I'm laboring. Why? Because one of these days at the judgment seat of Christ, I want that labor to go in that fire and actually come out and be some gold, silver, and precious stones instead of wood, hay, and stubble. Why? Laboring, doing something for it.
Yeah.
There's all kind of verses in here. The Bible talks about laboring in word and doctrine, a labor of love. Talk about whereup striving according to His working, which worketh in me mightily. He said, I labor. It's labor. It's that ox. We ought to have an attitude of labor. It's not just, look, labor's tough.
Yeah.
People say, look, work is different than labor.
Uh-huh.
And you say, man, I've been laboring. The Lord never said, hey, just sit around, take it easy. And he said, take thine ease. That's not a good thing. Well, I know we say, well, y'all just take it easy now. And I've said it. We don't need to be taking it too easy.
Yeah.
Why? Because you take it too easy for too long, and before long, you're in that easy, you're in an easy rut.
Mm-hmm.
Stuck.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with a little labor. I thank God I've been around. And look, I'll tell you something. I thank God that I've got a mom and daddy that showed me how to work.
Yeah.
How to. I've literally said, God, thank you that I don't mind getting out here and working. Why? Because somebody showed me, okay, here's a rake. rake this up in a pile right here. You say, is that simple? It starts off with simple things, so later on, you don't mind a hard day's labor. You know why a lot of people will not rightly divide their Bible? Because they're lazy. I used to think, well, a lot of them's just confused and stuff like that. Look, I'm be honest with you. Sometimes you get to look into this and that, hold on, now what's that mean? The Bible says laboring in word and doctrine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, it's study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman.
Amen.
A workman.
Yeah.
He never said that. Why? Because look, if it was easy, we'd read that thing through one time, we'd be done. All right, I've got that taken care of. We're in my Bible. I trusted Christ 10 years ago. I read my Bible. I'm done.
Yeah.
That's not it. Mm. Labor. Like an ox. They had the face of an eagle, and I guess what that's kind of symbolizes lofty aims and intelligence. Well, I believe with an eagle, you get to study an eagle. Look, it don't take you long. You can Google them. They are intelligent creatures. Very. And with a heavenly mindset. Now, here's some things about intelligence. Now, look, there's nothing wrong with starting off and being kind of, and look, I know some people have mentally challenged and stuff like that, but we ought to learn of Christ. I believe that we ought not just stay where we're at. I believe the Bible teaches this, Ephesians 1:17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. The knowledge, true biblical, lofty knowledge, has to do with the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
I tell you what, the knowledge that puffeth up is knowing too much of a whole bunch of other stuff. Sitting under the tree of knowledge with the devil is what puffs people up.
Yeah.
The more you learn of Jesus Christ, the more it'll get you humble and you say, Lord, thank you for that mercy.
Amen.
Looking at Him, Philippians 3:8, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss, for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. Look, he goes on, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. Thank you, Lord. And do count that but dung anyway, nothing but dung anyway, that I may win Christ. I got Christ, I don't mind. I got, anything down here is just temporary anyway. Thank God for that. That's not the attitude. Why? The more you learn Jesus Christ, your attitude of the world starts to go toward starts to go away. And you start to get an attitude that's of a heavenly mindset. Colossians 1:10, that you may walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. See, the real biblical knowledge has to do with, like these cherubim, they're looking, constantly looking on that mercy seat. In whom, Colossians 2:3, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. People say, where am I going? I want to learn this, I want to learn that. The best knowledge you can have is that of the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't learn too much of Him. Why? He's an infinite subject. Forever. Colossians 3:10, and have put on the new man which is renewed in knowledge after the image of Him that created him. Renewed knowledge. People say, how am I going to renew my mind? Just keep studying Jesus.
Amen.
Study His feet. Study His hands. Study how He walked. Study how He talked. Study what He looked at. Study what He talked about. Study how He talked to people. Study Jesus.
Amen.
And I tell you what, that'll keep you on the mercy seat.
Yeah.
The best knowledge is that of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's no wonder why the church age ends in apostasy. Why? The Bible says in 2 Timothy 3:7, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Who's the truth? Jesus. Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You know what they learn? Everything but Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
You can hear a lot of sermons. Now I've got some men now, I'm going to say this. Sometimes we go too far and say nobody's preaching Jesus. There's some preachers out there preaching Jesus.
That's right.
But a lot of them not preaching the biblical Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible says, behold therefore the goodness and severity of God. You preach the goodness of God, but you also got to preach the severity of Him too.
Yeah.
Jesus came the first time. He came like a lamb, and He laid down His life, and He'll save any sinner who'll come to Him.
Amen.
But when He comes back, you're going to behold the severity of God if you don't know Him.
Yeah.
Now, I'm going to tell you something. You got these cherubim, their faces turned downward to the mercy seat, and the law it covers.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that law tells us that we're sinners.
Yeah.
And the law tells us that It's our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. Now, if it don't bring you to Christ, the only thing it can bring you to is hell.
Yeah.
Now, you know what I think about this right here? They're just constantly looking. That mercy, that mercy seat has covered that law.
Yeah.
They're looking. If you want to look in the deep things of God, look, how does this apply with the Lord Jesus Christ? How does this relate to the Lord Jesus Christ? Man, here's the Lord. Here's the Lord again. Here's Him again. Here's Him again and again and again.
Yeah.
And you know what it'll do? You will literally, you're talking about the deep things. The Lord Jesus Christ is the deep things of God.
Hey.
The Bible says in Ephesians 3:10, talking about these cherubim and the whole heavenly beings. To the intent that now under the principalities and powers in heavenly places, they're in heavenly places, might be known by the church, the manifold wisdom of God. That tells me that the heavenly beings desire to see what the church, the body of Christ, is doing.
Yeah.
That's humbling. That's humbling. We're joined to Christ. They say, hey, that person right there just yielded to the Lord Jesus Christ. Wow. Hey, they just led a soul to the Lord Jesus Christ.
Right.
They want to see how it relates to Christ. Look at that mercy. Look at that mercy. Look at that mercy. They just had mercy. Look, that was the Holy Spirit. That's the Holy Ghost of God operating in and through that believer. Wow.
Right.
In an old sinful vessel. Isn't that amazing in their sight? I'm going to tell you something. Hey, look at that sinner right there. Watch what God can do. Now, a sinner would do this, but right here, watch the Lord work in and through them and change that situation.
Right.
Amazing, amazing. Their faces were turned inward. And it talks about, if you'll look into it, the restrictions and limitations of that dispensation in which they lived in. Here they are just focusing on one area. Now, you think about all the revelation we've got today.
Yeah.
Now, having a completed revelation of the Lord right here. No wonder. We got the Holy Spirit right here on the inside of us that can show us how to study His Word and how to apply it to our daily life. You're talking about looking into things of God. I thank God that we've got it.
Hey.
I thank God that I'm saved and know Him and get to be a part of it.
Hey.
And you know what? I want as many as can be to know the same God I do and to experience the same mercy I have.
Hey.